Now back to the ITD Morning After, live from the Casino Queen Studios. Here's McKern and Hayes and Vaughn on Team 1380.
It starts to rain.
It begins to pour. There's Doug and he's got a nice shirt. It wasn't free given out to him.
Shout out the Kentucky Derby shirt from Friday.
Yes, I love that Kentucky Derby shirt.
Hey, Doug, what'd you get in the mail?
Something
from my wardrobe.
Should be another one coming here any day now. Don't you get stuff every year from Fairmont Park?
I do.
You're too cool to wear it.
Right?
You're wearing a white undershirt today.
Darn right.
You'd love to have a little Kentucky Derby shirt on today, wouldn't you?
No, actually, I have a few.
You're fine with the undershirt.
Well, we'll take a little nip off that free booze they give you.
They do send free booze.
Yeah.
Take a little nip.
Whiskey.
Take a little nip off that. It's the ITD Morning After on Team 1380. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat, Hayes, and Doug Vaughn with you on a radio
That's
program.
A nice shirt, by the way, Doug.
That will feature the Governor, Steve Klein.
Thank you.
At 8:25. And the Colonel, Gabe DeArmond, will bring it about the Tigers and the black and gold game and whatever else the Colonel feels like bringing it on. In the 9 o'clock hour. Colonel's a very angry guy. I don't know if he displays that with.
Is he angry?
Oh, God, yes. That's why he's named the Colonel.
Why, colonels are angry?
Yeah, some of them. I think he was named.
But Colonel Sanders seems like an affable guy.
He's no longer with us.
He just walked around offering up chicken. Nothing angry about the Colonel.
I think the Colonel, Gabe DeArmond, was named after the character in the great 1994 hit Boogie Nights. With the fine Mark Wahlberg.
You know, Colonel Sanders didn't have much to do with that whole franchise.
Someone's been on Wikipedia.
Colonel Sanders had one tiny little chicken store in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was bought up by John Y. Brown, who then expanded it into a nationwide empire and used Colonel Sanders as his advertising guy.
Nice. Worked.
Remember, John Y. Brown owned the Kentucky Colonels.
Artist Gilmore.
The ABA, yeah.
The great Artist Gilmore.
And was married to Phyllis George.
Phyllis Diller, who was a guest on Martin
Phyllis Kilch. George, who was, at one point, wasn't she like a Miss America?
Yeah.
And then she was
on the NFL
cancer.
Today show, yeah.
Wow. Sounds like a vixen to me.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean she worked, she worked with that Irv Cross?
Yes.
I like Irv Cross.
Irv and Brent. Irv and Brent.
Jimmy the Greek Snyder?
Yeah.
Had some interesting observations about racial history in the country, I believe is what he had. Led to a firing. They caught him while he was having a nip on some free booze.
You probably shouldn't do interviews after having a couple of nips.
Probably not.
Speaking of people having nips, producer Joe had a nip or two.
Now he's making a face like, didn't I? Joe, I
did
saw
not.
You there. I was a little horrified. I saw you at the Champions Club. We went there in the second inning, and you looked like you were gone.
I actually... Considering that he started drinking probably around 6:30 on Friday, I don't think he was in as bad of shape as I would have thought.
Did you sit on Jacob Nieder's lap and feed him?
I met Jacob Nieder, and I actually offered to sit on his lap.
Did you?
I did.
But he declined?
He rejected me.
Did he?
I was turned away. And I considered it kind of a shot.
Let's get back to producer Joe. I sensed that he was drunk by that empty look in his eyes, and the fact that he suddenly got angry at me for talking to Emac.
Evan Makovsky, who was you didn't get to experience it, unfortunately.
Experience the fact that he did bring in that stacker, what do you call that, energy drink or weight supplement or whatever, the first day he came on the air, and the next day, just to let us know he was a trainer, and the next day, I caught a tell he had another of the same can with a dent in the exact same place, and I believe he brought the same can basically as a prop.
To let the can know that he
was a trainer.
Pretty serious when it came to physical fitness.
So we got off on the wrong foot right from there, and then when we were like, great, we got a guy from the West Coast who knows about Andy Murray. Let's get some insight. And he said, I covered him. I go, great, let's talk about it. And then we open it, what are we getting? Well, a guy who coaches and has news conferences. And he got angry that I mocked that. Then something else happened and I wasn't there anymore.
It's a great move, though. So I did get a chance to work with him for 5 months.
Nice guy.
Nice guy.
Nice guy.
You know, like, you know, I need to get into it.
I like when you're
I think people can figure out for themselves all the rest of the stuff. But I have no problem with him. And as we were announcing who won the ability to go down to the Cardinals batting practice on the field Friday, it was a little awkward.
For me, it was beautiful because over the years, I've sensed when something is not quite right, and I knew that Tim was waiting till the last second to announce the prize winner, the people that were winning the right to go down on the field. And by the look of frustration on Tim's face, I saw something wasn't right. So I did my job as a co-host and say, "Hey, Tim, isn't it time to announce those names?" Knowing that there was something not quite, and knowing that I had just accused you of running fake contests.
Yes. While I'm sitting there waiting for Don over at the Cardinals to give me another name as opposed to Evan's name, because Evan has a, or did have, a media credential and could go down on the field all the time, I wanted some father or mother to be able to take their kid down on the field.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's just what I wanted, and Evan Makovsky wasn't the guy that I was visualizing getting that prize. And so I was waiting for Don to send over another name, hoping that you and Kelly Chase and Doug could have a little delay tactic, and then we'd be able to get the new name.
I smelled blood.
And you went in, and so Evan Makovsky gets the prize. And so
I feel good about that because
of the weather, before Friday's contest between the Cardinals and Giants, there was no batting practice anyway. And Evan.
So how'd that go over with the people who thought they'd won?
None of them were able to go.
They didn't care anyway.
So then we just started going through the list in the database of all the people who had purchased tickets, and like I think we might have had one that was able to go, but it never wound up happening anyway because there was no batting practice.
What are you going to do? There's no batting practice, Doug. What are you going to have the
Take
Cardinals?
Take them inside where the Cardinals hit in the tunnel by the locker room.
I don't even think a media can go in there.
No.
I can.
It was your prize. It's up to you to get them in there.
You're a fraud. What
a nice gesture.
But I did get, the Cardinals were kind enough. And I'll tell you, that media relations department, God bless them, I think they're on board with this radio program.
I know the Jim Anderson fella.
I think Bartow is a little bit.
I don't know if he listens, but
I think he
kind of is amused to a certain
friend of the
extent.
Show.
Yeah,
likes to reference producer Joe's beret and such.
They were totally on board for the breaking of the beret barrier.
It'll happen still.
He had it on briefly in the press box Friday night. Joe did.
On Friday night, he had it at the Champions
Briefly.
Club?
No, at the stadium.
Well, that's the same place.
So no, at the Champions Club, he was in the press box, right? Was that Friday?
Was he in the press box?
That was Thursday. Oh,
Thursday.
Thursday, he had it on.
It'd be great if he was stumbling around drunk wearing a beret on Friday night. That would have been great.
Thursday, he had it on briefly. Very stylish.
Sometimes we get confused with dates when we get a little older.
Yeah. It's one of those days.
But the Cardinals, Jim Anderson, Brian Bartow.
You need some of that ginseng, I think.
Melody Yunt. Kind enough to get Hatem and Joel Rutherford and his wife Annie credentials to go down and see batting practice as well. I wanted Hatem to be able to get on the field. And I figured a guy like the skipper would probably be fascinated by Hatem's story, especially, as you mentioned when I was talking to Hatem and some of the guys down at the ballpark, that if he had maybe been a B-list celebrity in Kirkuk, he would have even had a higher stock for the skipper.
Tony is very good, though, about meeting and greeting guests.
Absolutely.
He's very good about that.
So Hatem and Joel Rutherford and Annie Rutherford are in the lobby between the hallway in the ballpark and the Cardinal locker room. And Tony had been in there for like an hour talking to John Miller, San Francisco Giants broadcaster, and you see him on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And then Big Irish came in there, and there was no way I was going to go in there.
Excuse me, skipper. It's me, Tim. Remember?
Talk to the skipper at that time. So I just waited. 6:30 rolls around. They'd already shut the clubhouse down to access to media. But Don, who is not a friend of the show, who runs the clubhouse.
Oh, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He plays the role of the hard guy.
You can be a good person and not be a friend of the show. I think the Badger's a great guy, but he's not a friend of the show.
My point with Don, the clubhouse guard, is that he plays the role of being the hard guy, where deep down he's not.
He's a softer, you're saying?
Yeah, he is.
Serious accusation. So Don allows to see that the skipper is no longer talking to John Miller, and so I can go in there and ask him.
Do you have a secret code, like he touches his nose and you know the coast is clear?
No, he just walked out and said he's available now.
That's a better
system. It's easier.
That's better.
Yeah. It's easier.
So I go in there, and it's 6:30, and you don't know with the skipper. It's getting close to game time, you know? It's close to game time, and I know he likes to lock in. Those Giants are in town. I mean, this is a big game.
Oh, they got a good ball club. We got a good ball club.
What in the hell?
They got good fishing. We got good fishing.
The hell are you doing today?
Is that how the skipper talks?
I think he took
That's how Tony Perez used to say.
Oh, I was about to say, can we do
that? We got a good ball club. We got a good ball club.
I think you've been nipping on that Kentucky Durban free liquor.
They got good fishing. We got good fishing. They got a good ball club.
Here's the thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
If it's 6:30 and you go and you go, Tony, quick question just to clarify about when Springer, he will kill you. But if you're like, Tony, I got a guy who is in the Sound of Music. All right, bring him in.
So it's around 6:30, might even be 6:40. We're only a half hour away from the first pitch.
You were scared.
You got to get you know the move. You can get tells on Tony, whether or not it's the right time or the wrong time. So I peek around the corner. He's in there. Buckling up the belt,
strapping up his boots,
putting on the boot straps, the spurs. They go jingle jangle.
Threw the saddle on the horse,
and I kind of knock on the door. He goes, "Big Tim, what's up?" And I think to myself, "Big Tim, that's a welcome."
Yeah.
Considering my size, probably in good shape. So I tell him the story of Hatem, and say he's sitting out there. Bring him in. So I bring him in along with Joel Rutherford and Annie. And the skipper couldn't be kinder. Talked to him for a little while. Went back to his cabinet behind his desk. Got a copy of Three Nights in August. Gave it to Hatem, and says, "This guy that wrote this book, he made it real interesting." So even then, he's throwing Buzz under the bus. Hatem, of course, doesn't know.
That wasn't me. That was Buzz. It's got quotes around it.
Takes a picture with him, which is on the cover of or on the front page of Inside STL this morning. Hatem and Tony La Russa, and then Joel Rutherford. It turns out, and I didn't know this. Joel Rutherford was the one. Remember when Julian Tavares was accused of scuffing the ball? I think it was against the Pirates. Nobody's playing it better than the Pirates.
Oh, and they try to get rid of that ball.
No, the hat.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So Tavares is thrown out of the game, and he's running off the field and knowing that he's got potentially, allegedly, some hot evidence on top of his head, takes his hat and throws it into the stands.
Yep.
Turns out Joel Rutherford was the one that bought the hat from the guy that actually caught it, because the guy that actually caught it was out of money and wanted more booze.
I remember
and so,
that.
And so Joel says he paid a couple $100 for it. And he gave the cap back to the Cardinals. So he told the skipper that, and the skipper's eyes light up. His stock skyrockets with Tony. So we take Hatem up to the Champions Club, and people are just fascinated by meeting the guy. I mean, he's become a little, might bit of a celebrity.
Well, you think about it. What's the biggest story facing the country? The war, and how many people actually have access to a guy who's lived through it, unless you have a loved one or a friend in the service,
especially from that side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, from growing up there and then being the translator and working directly with General Petraeus, so people are talking to him. I talked to him for a while, and it'll probably bore a lot of people to go into some of the detail of the conversation regarding the war. But anyway, people were talking to him. Very cool guy. He got to meet Pat Parris and
television's own.
I apologize. There's a picture. The theme picture that the cat was referencing, and eventually
that's worth 1,000 hits.
And eventually, we did get him over to Sauget, Illinois.
And how did that go exactly?
Well, the fine people at the Penthouse Club.
He had never been to a spot like that. I'm guessing
because he considered Hooters paradise.
Yeah.
And Joel has requested that I leave out details of the whole thing, and there really wasn't. Honestly, there wasn't a whole lot that would be that.
I would assume, though, the ladies, when they knew his story, would give him a lot of attention.
That was the move. So here's what I do before the Cardinal game. I call over there, and I talk to a girl who's usually a bartender back in the VIP, who actually auditioned for the entertainment reporter position. All I knew I was going to be quitting. We had all these girls coming in auditioning for entertainment reports, but I couldn't say anything. But I had gotten to know her that way. And she said, yeah, we'll take care of him. And put him up in the VIP in the back, which is nice. You ever been? I guess you guys might not want to say if you have.
No,
never. Honestly,
It actually is very, very nice.
I've been in the VIP room at Al Roboski's once.
Did you see J-Rod?
I did not. I actually just went there for a story for the FSN.
And but by the time we got there, Hatem was already ponied up outside on the main floor.
And when you say ponied up,
he was sitting. He wasn't sitting on the, like, if this is the stage for everybody watching on Charter right now, if this is the stage, he was sitting back off the stage. There are chairs.
Good idea.
Line.
Yeah.
So I show up with like 7 message board guys, Producer Joe did not make the cut because he was getting a little blank stare-ish as the time had gone on. And I got Hottam up on, not on the stage, but sitting up against the stage, and I said, here's the deal. Anytime you see one of these ladies that tickles your fancy, you let me know, I'll get them over here, and then I'll make it rain, quite frankly.
And he was impressed by that, no doubt.
He had no idea what it meant. But every time one of them would come over, I would make sure to let them know a little bit about his backstory. Not that the name General Petraeus is really going to register with the 19-year-old with the family tree tattoo on her back.
Right.
But nonetheless, I felt like it might help the cause. And it seemed like they became a little more friendly once they knew his backstory. Meanwhile, it's Vaughn, who likes to call into the show on Friday to take the exit poll, was taking his shirt off.
His shirt off?
And dancing.
Why would he do that?
And dancing around the stage.
Putting on his own little program.
On the stage?
He would take a bunch of ones and then throw them all over his face and then lay up on the stage.
And they don't kick you out for that?
And then finally the bartender goes, hey! Ah! And so what he did then was he would...
I've been to strip clubs in my past, not recently, but the way you're describing this place, it seems like that there are lifeguards around, and if you start, like, splashing other people in the pool, they'll kick you out of the deep end. Hey! Is that what it is? Are these guys lifeguards with whistles?
No, this is just a bartender. But he had been doing it so many times, and he would scream at the, Vaughn would scream at the strippers when they would come here. I mean,
why was he doing that? He wanted them to pick up the money that was on his head?
Yes. That was the move. Hottam, meanwhile.
Did you give Hottam some ones?
Yeah, I made it rain, I told you.
All right.
Like, they would really come over to him, and I'd just be throwing it up like I was Pac-Man.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Nice.
They were ones. It didn't matter. It was like $5.
Making a rain with nickels. That's what I believe.
Hottam says to me, one girl comes over, she has one of my personal favorites, nipple rings. And Hottam says to me, after she had made her pit stop,
he probably thought she got hit by some shrapnel.
He goes, Tim, what is wrong with her breasts? They had metal in them. I said, Hottam, those are nipple
rings. Was he drinking?
Not really. He was completely sober, I think. I don't know. He wasn't buying him drinks? No, absolutely. I said to him, as a matter of fact, right when he got in the Champions Club, I said, what would you like? I figured I'd get him a beer. And he goes, I want grape juice. And I go, I don't know if they do grape juice here or not. And then Joel goes, that's what he calls wine. I go, okay. So I got it. So he was drinking wine at the Champions Club. Eventually, he switched over to beer. And I was worried, thinking that he's 21, and one of my compadres who contributes to producing this radio program is 28 and has a tough time if he starts drinking at 6:30 with remaining sober, that here's this kid coming straight out of Iraq, that he might not be able to make it to Sauge. But Hottam was fine. I rolled out of the Penthouse Club at 4:30, took the cabs back. Hottam's still at the stage, bringing me.
How did he get home? He was with Joel then.
He was not with Joel. Joel's brother was over there.
I think he phoned home to tell the parents what he was up to.
I don't know.
That's a great country or what?
They communicate via email. Producer Joe, however, did not make it over to the Stag Bar on Friday night, and that's because the cat, he was getting into that kind of where he would sit at the table and just stare thing.
I saw traces of it in the second inning.
He said he was going to go, but he didn't make the cut. And Producer Joe, you're more than welcome to defend yourself. I don't think he was having as good of a night as he normally does on a Friday. Something wasn't right. Here comes Producer Joe. He's gonna defend himself, and I think it's important to let a person tell their
side. He just gave me the look like, Tim doesn't have me on this, no biggie.
No, that wasn't the look. I got drunk for real on Friday night.
For real.
No, I did.
Were you pretty well gone in the second inning when
I
saw you?
No, I was fine until we got till after the game, and then I started arguing with folks. And
you get argumentative after you've had a
no.
He's belligerent.
No, it wasn't that. Like, I was having a good time for a while, and then
why would you get belligerent?
You have gotten in an argument with a bathroom attendant.
I have before. That was
passive, gentleman.
What folks did you argue with?
No, just one person in particular. Ooh. It's fine now. Andy and I were fighting.
Oh, you're
yeah, we were
love
fighting.
Interest.
What happened?
I don't know. I was being mean, I guess.
Why were you being
malicious? She wanted to go home because she wasn't feeling well and didn't want to come out to begin with.
Well, take her home.
And why'd she go out then?
Because I told her she had to go to the game.
My wife was going to go. I had got a ticket for her, and she didn't feel like going at 8 o'clock, and I said, fine, stay home.
Yeah, but that's,
why are you making this girl go to the baseball
because,
game?
Because, Tim, you said that we could bring a guest.
Absolutely.
And I had a ticket reserved for a guest.
That's fine.
And I felt as though I'd be letting you down if I didn't have
all
my
right,
guest.
All right, I understand where you're coming from there.
It's different between yourself and myself. Yeah. It's your wife, and so she was a trooper.
Right, so in a sense, you were afraid of the wrath of Tim if you didn't use a ticket.
I do understand where he's coming from.
Yes, I mean, he had
Tim drops a lemon on him.
I would say, Tim, I had a guest. My wife didn't want to go.
I'm not married.
In your case, your friend. And if he got mad at me, I'd smack him in his bald head.
Oh, why? You?
No, but I mean, this has been something that's been in the works.
Don't be scared.
No, but
he's a reasonable man.
Once again. So she wanted to go home, and I was sort of having a good time. And
we
started arguing.
I got the ticket, and my girl's with me, so I'm using the ticket.
Why don't you take her home and then rejoin the party?
That would have been
the gentlemanly thing to do.
That would have been the move.
Trust me.
You would have had a nice little cocktail party. It was amusing. It's Vaughn was bringing it strong.
I know. And then it wasn't ever brought to my attention, but our friend over here, Tim McKernan, our photographer, was there. And apparently, through other sources have indicated that he told her to keep an eye on me to make sure she followed me around with the camera a little bit. Is that true?
I don't think so.
It's not important if it's
that
not.
Was this Tim McKernan right here?
Because our photographer's there and somebody had told me that, hey, McKernan told that girl to make sure she follows you around with the camera tonight in case you do something stupid.
Yeah, not true.
Right. It's not a big deal to me anyway.
Big Al got a picture.
Oh, God, that was great, wasn't it?
With the king of all douchebags.
Get out of here.
Oh, he did.
That's rarer than the Loch Ness Monster.
He got a picture with the king of all douchebags. Yeah. I don't know if it's up on the side or
no,
not.
No, those pictures aren't up yet.
Yeah, I've been looking those up, see what's going
on. But yeah, he went down there. That was early in the night. Goes down there and has his picture taken.
Was one.
I could see by the fifth inning your girlfriend says, I'm kind of hungry. Honey, can you get me a brat? Nah, get it yourself.
No, that's not true either.
You had the look of a guy who was going in a dark, dark place.
You did have that look.
But that was about 1 o'clock in the morning. The cat, earlier in the night, everything
did
was all right.
Did you get your second wind?
Yeah, it was all right.
Where did you go from Lush, home. Which is where we went?
Really?
Home, yeah. Did you go home and make sweet love?
No, that did not happen.
Why not?
Because I was drunk, she was mad at me, and we went to sleep.
Did you pass out?
No, I didn't pass out.
Now, producer Joe, is there some tension between you and, I guess, my former producer?
No, none.
Evan Makovsky?
And I was telling Iggy about this. There's none. Zero. I just heard the same story 7 times from him over and over and over again.
What was the story?
I don't know if it's really meant for air, but he just kept saying the same thing.
Why don't you kind of lay out the
He was talking about why he's no longer over there.
Okay.
And it's his side of it is not exactly what you may have read in the newspaper.
Okay.
And I was coming in and I saw Klaibs and I'm talking to Klaibs.
Yeah, Klaibs made a cameo as
and
well.
Klaibs makes Klaibs is
2 pound carrot.
Yeah, his
for a number of reasons.
His idea of hearing what I had heard for that was probably the 6th time was yeah, sounds right. And but I heard it over. I've got no problems with it. I've seen him around. Like obviously, I haven't worked with him ever before, but I've seen him down at other events and stuff. And I've never been anything but nice to him. I have no reason not to like him.
Are you a little resentful that you did a fine job producing that show right from the get go?
No.
And you were let go, and he came in and took what you did and built it even higher and better and stronger.
Some would debate what you're saying right there.
You weren't there.
I know. Obviously, better for the show.
Oh yeah. No, I've got nothing against him, honestly. But I just heard the same thing too many times.
I will note this, and I think it's important to note this. After the game, we were standing at the bar in the Champions Club, and I'm talking to Evan, and his very attractive, startlingly very attractive, allegedly 36-year-old girlfriend, and he's my age, and I tip my cap. What was that? What? Okay, so anyway, and producer Joe comes up and smacks Evan on the back. I mean, really lays a good lick into him. And I go, oh no, Joe's going to fight Evan Makovsky.
I almost did at spring training. Oops.
What was that about? You struck him, and I thought...
No, he had gotten me earlier in the night, too.
He struck you.
Yeah, he got me from the side.
Two Nancy's slapboxing each other in the Champions
Club. Two ne'er-do-wells.
I honestly got nothing against him, honestly. Like, there's no reason for me to ever have a problem with him.
Except that he wants your job, and he wants it now.
He does. He's a free agent right now.
Bad.
I bet Helmkamp's having a 4 or 5 hour meeing with them right now, seeing if they can hammer out a deal.
He might work a little cheaper too.
No, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's fine. But no, I don't have anything against him. Honestly. All right. No, it was all good.
Well, then I guess this is the right time to announce that he will be on this program starting on Tuesday.
Awesome.
He will?
No, I'm just BSing. That message board would have lit up.
He's part of the Saturday Soccer Report.
He is
too.
Quite a character. I got to give him that.
He's unbelievable. And if he were part of the station, I'd be able to tell more stories from Friday night, but I can't.
Yeah, we don't want to kill the guy.
Well, it wouldn't be killing him. It's just stories.
Well, it's ones that would put him in a bad light, i.e. killing the guy.
Debatable. I tip my cap, actually. Big time tip my cap.
To his female companion?
To see a single woman over the age of 30 in this city, honest to God.
Had she ever been married before?
Yes.
I got to tell you, he is a nice man. I just couldn't imagine going into a meeting and having him being in charge of what was good and what wasn't.
Like I said, I envied your position at this time last year.
I was running. I took a jog.
God. I was in Dante's Inferno, level 4. It's time to shut it down. The governor will join
Forever?
Us. Fine. The governor will join us at
8:12. Yeah. Join us something.
Tried to call McKernan on Saturday, and I know that he doesn't like when I call.
That sums it up very
nicely. What are you, Rudy? What are you, Rudy?
It's like 1. I went to bed at 6.
I know, but I wanted to find... I was done with the Saturday Soccer Report. I was on my way to Walgreens to pick up some Tylenol.
Feeling pretty good about yourself?
Just peacocking after a good day talking about football.
It was a great show, by the way. Tommy Smith joined us. You can check it all out at SaturdaySoccerReport.com.
Tommy Smothers,
yes.
Hold on, you have a website now?
Saturday Soccer Report does. And you can listen to all the audio there.
We got to get ours going.
Anyway.
We got to get ours going.
Pictures of the strikers next door.
Yes. It's actually really good
Saturday
stuff.
Saturday Soccer Report.
Anyway, so I called Tim to ask him how everything went on the east side. I wanted to hear about Hotham's night. And guess who? And the phone answers, like you can tell on your cell
phone. Answers.
Phone answers?
I have a phone that answers.
And there it is. There's Bella.
Well, I was lying on the couch. I said, here, talk to this nitwit.
So she informed me that you guys were watching golf, watching JW choke around the weekend
JW,
again.
JW, God.
Tim's not available right now.
No, Tim was totally available. No, I was just lying there.
She just says... Tim out told me to answer the phone. What can I do for you, Producer Joe?
Oh, goodness.
And I said, oh, it's not important. I just wanted to see how the night went. And, well, I found out about it this morning. Pretty sweet. I read it on the message board later
on. If I call someone and they screen me out and I know it, I'm not that jazzed about calling them back.
Doesn't really
especially
bother me.
No, Joe's used to it.
Maybe you just made a big sale for the company and you want to let them know. Maybe you just hold that information.
You're better than that, Jim.
I don't understand what that means. I'm better than that.
But sometimes,
you know better than that.
Sometimes writing a text message, I honestly was expecting to leave a message because that's usually what I'll do. Like last night, I had to leave you a message. Mm-hmm. And then you texted me back the answer, but it was too long to type.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really expecting an answer, period. But there she was, Isabella, answering the telephone.
Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah, I know. I thought there might be a little story there.
No.
I thought I had a big finish.
Big deal.
You know, like... All of a sudden, it was, and Boog Powell was there.
Brendan Ryan?
In his chambers.
Were the Orioles at home this weekend?
7:46 in St. Louis. We'll come back and bring more heat. Plus, I opened up my wiffle ball field in the backyard this weekend, and I unloaded into the foliage over the fence. And I'm talking about, I crushed it.
How far a shot would that be?
I would think about 200 feet.
You hit a wiffle ball 200 feet?
I think so.
That's a pretty good poke.
Thank you, Doug. Show respect. And it was off my wife.
Oh, man.
She didn't know what the hell hit her.
She has a good breaking pitch. You're playing wiffle ball with your wife?
Yeah. Who else are we going to play with?
I don't know. Maybe one of the neighbors.
I don't really know him.
Maybe you should meet him.
Hey, your wife pitches you wiffle ball?
It's embarrassing.
I was striking her out. I have this slider, and she just couldn't figure it out. She's stepping in the bucket.
Because she's afraid it's going to hit her.
Exactly. And then it just cuts. It just cuts. And I'm out there, I'm pumping my fist like Joaquin Andua. I mean, I am a complete ass.
You know what I'll do is I'll get television's own Pat Parris to make you some Rice Krispie squares. He's the best.
Nice.
Bring them to your neighbors. Get to know them.
And then they'll play wiffle ball.
Then you have to come in bragging about how you beat your wife in wiffle ball.
What do you mean? This is a pretty big deal.
All right. What'd you beat her, 3-5?
We only played a one-inning game, and I crushed the ball over the foliage.
It was awesome. Nice. Into someone else's yard.
I know, and now we don't have a ball.
You didn't go get it?
I'm not going over there. It was like 9:30. It was a night game. It was 9:30 at night.
Climb the fence and go get the ball.
It's one of those privacy fences.
Privacy.
I apologize. Where do you get more wiffle balls, by the way?
You climb the fence, whatever kind of fence it is, you get over it, and you go and get your ball.
Pretty sure you can go to like Walgreens and get a wiffle ball set.
Do they, but without the bat? I don't want to buy the bat
again.
That's
probably.
BS. Yes!
You can just get the balls?
Nice. Where do you get wiffle balls? 969-1381-800-491-1338.
By the way, your guys on the website were killing me because I had my collar up. Because
your
raining.
Collar popping, Kanye?
Well, it's one of those coats where the collar is meant to be up. It doesn't go down. So I zip it up, and it's like right around my neck, and they're putting pictures of me and Arthur Fonzarelli. Hey.
I'll have to check that out. Don't forget to check out SaturdaySoccerReport.com. The hell's this?
So who cares?
Your producer Joe's got a website.
It's a show.
I know, but they have a pretty nice website. And Joe has a column. Got to read this. It's the ITD Morning After on Team 1380. Steve Klein will join us.